Little nugget here before we get into the Word of God. I truly have our heart this year in 2018 to really lead the congregation, because I strongly believe that that's the number one thing it is to allow us to be a healthy individual and a healthy church, is how to listen to God. Because when you listen to God, the things that come out of God's mouth, God's heart is not the same thing as our heart. So when we learn how to listen to the voice of God, to really learn how to discern which voice is speaking to you, and when we know it's God speaking to you, there are always going to be positive things in our lives. But also at times, God does speak to us to correct us, because He wants the best for you and I. And I believe when we work on ourselves this way, it will contaminate and it will touch, it will influence other people around, and we will be a healthy church. When you're a healthy church, now the community will see a healthy church. And who wants to go to a broken place? Nobody. People want to go where's the healthy, where there's happiness, where there's joy, where there's nothing negative, but there's happy things happening. And people just want to go there to be in a good place to get. So this year I want to lead the congregation, and listening really to the, I'm really paying attention to what God is trying to do, trying to tell me, is how to listen to the voice of God and how to really respond even to the voice of God when He speaks to us. But before we get to that, we're going to look at set free stuff, where there's things in our lives that kept us in bondage, the things in our lives that's holding us back to really listen to what God has in store for us. So we're going to be working step by step, so I don't want to spoil that. When the time comes, I'm going to launch that, and we're going to be doing that for 2018. Amen. Are you excited for that? Oh, I'm excited for that, because I really want to hear from the Word of God. And I can just tell you one thing. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, have you? If you have already accepted, because someone can tell me, how do I know God spoke to me? If you already have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God already spoke to you, because you responded to that. That's the first way. He spoke to you and you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. So amen to that. So if someone might tell you, I never heard from God. No, you heard from God. You accepted a call. You accepted to go into repentance to Him. But this morning we want to go to a text this morning that everybody is well known of. And I titled this, Prayer is the Place of Victory. Prayer is the place of victory. Have you ever been in a crossroad? Trapped in a place of decision? Crossroad is where you are in a place of reality and destiny. Have you ever been in a crossroad? A decision had to be made, that you had to turn left or you had to turn right. You had to make a choice. Have you ever been in a crossroad? I've been in a crossroad, and sometimes I listen to my wife and say, no, turn left or turn right, and confusion happens. I've been in a crossroad. I believe every one of us has been in a crossroad. And I think we've been in a crossroad even with our spouses or our friends. They tell, no, it's by here, it's by here. And we end up being confused. But we know that being in a crossroad, it has to make a decision, going right, going left, going back, or going forward. Jesus Himself was at a crossroad in this text. It's in Matthew 26, verse 36 to 46. We're going to be reading this. Jesus finds Himself at a crossroad in this text, trapped between 100% humanity and 100% divinity. We see Jesus is walking on this earth, 100% humanity and 100% divinity. Then Jesus came, the Bible, Lord, we add another blessing upon your word. Add another blessing, Lord, as when we read your word, penetrate into our hearts, oh Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, for we, when we read your word, let us not take lightly your word, but let's apply it to our lives. Let's be sensitive to what you have in store for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He told the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. Going a little further, He fell face down and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and He asked Peter, so couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, on the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came again and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. It sounds like us sometimes. After leaving them, he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same thing once more. So it's three times Jesus was on a crossroad and repeated the same theme. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the time is near. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go see. My betrayer is near." He knew. Begins in verse 36. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is in an urban garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Most famous place. The place where Jesus prayed and his disciples slept night before his crucifixion. The site recorded as we were the agony in the garden where it took place. And at that moment, I believe, in this instant, that I believe that it was that he put there in that place, Jesus, for us, the importance of prayer. Do you know that without the word prayer in our lives, we have nothing? You know that the scripture, when he tells us that you can do anything, you can feed the poor, you can go out and help one another, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. And it's the same thing with the prayer. You can do everything, you can have programs, you can jump for joy, but if you don't have a prayer life, you have nothing. Because only is at the place of prayer that it's only that that place you can find victory is the place of prayer. It's the place of prayer. So my encouragement this morning is that we and I be sensitive to what God has in store for us about the importance of prayer. If you're going to reach the place of victory in our lives, we're going to reach it in the private place. You need to reach it in a private place. We want the power of God to manifest in our lives. We often forget the simple truth. Power comes through prayer. Battles in home, battles in the church, battles in the world of sin and Satan are won and lost in the private place of prayer. It is in the persistence of prayer. Prayer is not preparation for the battle, but prayer is the battle. Prayer is the place of victory is seen in the life of Jesus himself. So Jesus went to Gethsemane with the disciples. And what did he go do there? He went to pray. And I can tell you one thing, even today, I'll be speaking out prayer the way Jesus spoke about prayer three times and the people were sleeping. I can guarantee you, I can preach about prayer today and you will be falling asleep. Because the enemy will use that tool to destroy us, to not remember, to not focus on the importance of prayer. Because it's only prayer that changes lives. It is only prayer that changes our lives. And Jesus is demonstrating the importance of prayer. And the first point that I want to bring with you is prioritize prayer. You got to prioritize prayer first in your life. We prioritize everything else. We put soccer games ahead of us. We can put yoga sessions once a week. We can go bingo nights every once a week. We prioritize those things, but those things are useless without prayer. We need to prioritize prayer first in our life. We got to develop that and put that in our minds. The first thing that you and I need to do is prioritize prayer. Throughout the life of Jesus, he prioritized prayer. Prayer has to be the prominent in our lives, individually and collectively. And if we're going to be the people of victorious living, we need to prioritize prayer. Are you with me this morning? Throughout the life of Jesus' ministry, the ministry of prayer was priority in the days of the flesh. Jesus Christ offered up prayers and supplication. He was a man of prayer. And he's demonstrating to us, you and I need to be a man and a woman of prayer. You cannot move the mountains. You cannot move to another set. You cannot even take another step without prayer. In Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up what? Prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. 100% humanity, 100% divinity. He still offered up prayers and petition and with fervent prayer, with fervent cries before the Lord. Is that your prayer today? Do you prioritize prayer? Do you spend time and do you offer up prayers with cries before the Lord and say, Lord, do that work in our lives today? Do we do that? Do we prioritize prayer? I strongly believe that you and I should do that daily and take that the first thing in the morning, or the first thing, whenever it is, if it's in the morning or in the night or the evening, whatever it is you do, but prioritize prayer before everything else of life. The word prayer in the four Gospels are used 25 times in connection with Jesus. Yes, he was a man of prayer. He prayed at night. He prayed in the morning. He prayed all the time. When life was unsuitable, busy, Jesus Christ withdrew himself to a solitude place to pray. We must learn to do that too. He was in a busy life. He had a busy time. We all have busyness of life. We all have activities during the week. We all work. We do a lot of things during the week. But Jesus always demonstrated to us, even though through he was Jesus himself, there was a lot of people around him. He was doing what God has called him to do. But he still took time and withdrew himself and prioritized prayer. Because without prayer, he can't do nothing. He knew that he had to go on the cross. So he made this importance of prayer. You and I know you will face temptation tomorrow. You and I know we'll face struggles tomorrow. You need to prioritize prayer to get ready for when the temptation comes, to when the struggles come, when the opposition comes. It is only prayer. It is only the place of prayer. It is only the place of prayer you're going to find victory. I just want you to hear my heart and what God has in store for us this morning. He prioritized prayer before great temptations. Let me ask you, is prayer a priority in your life? Prayer is not a monologue, but it's a dialogue. It is a two-side of God's voice, and the only voice that really matters in our conversation is God's voice. Have you ever been with someone, and I'm at fault at that. Have you ever been with someone, my wife tells me I talk too much. And here, remember, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Have you ever been with someone that spoke for an hour, and then he says, okay, goodbye, have a good day, and you never said anything? Lord help us, it's not good, huh? It doesn't feel good. It's not a monologue, it's supposed to be a dialogue. You're supposed to be together, Brother Joseph. You got to give some people a chance once in a while to speak. What I'm trying to say is a dialogue. It's the same thing. We do the same thing with God. We go there, we blast them with everything, and all of a sudden we just take off. No, it's a dialogue. We talk to him, and now we hear him, what he has in store for us. We communicate with him. I think the only reason why we don't want to listen is because you're afraid he's going to tell us what things to change. Oh, Lord, I want this, I want that, I want this. I want my numbers for 649. He's not going to give it to you. But you know what I'm saying? You want everything and then you just take off. No, it's a dialogue. Listen what he has for you. Listen to the voice of God. It's probably the most important thing that will ever happen to you and I. Listening is the one of the easiest and one of the hardest things to do. My friend, if you want to be people to live victorious, prayer must be a priority in your life. Jesus made a priority in his life. And we must not be people who only pray in moments of desperation or moments of this transition in our life. We must have the lifestyle of prayer and communicate with God daily. If you're ever going to accomplish great things for the glory of God, if you and I, this church, is ever going to accomplish great things for the glory of God, you can't do it on your own strength. We can't do it on our own ability. We can't do it on our own wisdom. You need the power of God. And that comes with going to a place of prayer and make it a priority. New Hope Christian Assembly, until we see the people of God, both individually and collectively, begin to prioritize prayer in our churches, we will never accomplish the things that God desires us to accomplish. So prioritize prayer is important. So when you prioritize prayer in your life, God does speak. Second point is, have reliable partners. Have reliable partners. Verse 37. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. He takes with him his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. The beauty of it is that Jesus takes them in his team and invites them to be prayer partners. New Hope, in this world of tension, of struggles and temptations, you and I would need some reliable people to pray for you and to pray with you at times of trouble. Do you have a prayer partner? Do you have someone? Jesus took those three and had this inner circle. He's demonstrating to us that you need prayer partners. Prayer partners are there to give them once every couple of days to go, once a week or whatever it is, to get together, not to criticize with each other, not to attack each other, but to get together and confess with one another and say like things to Ray and say, Ray, I need this kind of prayer. Can you pray for me? And we have this inner circle and to pray for one another and we cry with each other and we worship the Lord together. But it seems that this world that we're living, everybody wants to live in isolation. I don't want to go and have this prayer partner because so-and-so is going to tell all my problems. But Jesus has demonstrated to us. He took the three and put himself in this inner circle and they prayed for one another. Have you a prayer partner in your life? Do you have someone you can just speak your heart to? I need that. Don't we all need that? He's demonstrating to the scriptures prayer partner is important. If you don't have a prayer partner, I encourage you to get one. Get a couple. I know Pat Wilton has his prayer partners, three ladies or four ladies that get together once a week. And they just pray for one another. And open their hearts to each other. Yeah, but Pastor, I pray with my spouse. That's my prayer partner. But maybe I need to pray for your spouse. Maybe it's better to stay away and just find someone else in the group and pray for one another. But the key of all this is Jesus has demonstrated to us prayer partners, and he's demonstrating to that you and I should have prayer partners. Prioritize prayer. Prayer partners is a crucial thing in our life because you and I can't do it alone. You and I can't do it alone. The Bible even tells us this. Look at this too. In the next slide, please. Two are better than one because they have a good return for the labor. If either of them falls down, what did the next one do? One can help them up one other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if the two lie down together, they will keep warm. Look at that. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord, three strands, is not quickly broken. When we just, the importance of togetherness, the importance of a prayer partner, get together. Everybody also needs an Aaron and a Hur in their life to lift up the arms and pray for one another and care for one another and cry with that person. Oh, Pastor, it's hard. I really can't find one like that. I really can't find someone that really I can pray with or I can spend time with. Yes, we know the churches sometimes are more efficient and more better than the CTV news. Yes, I know that. The news go out fast. But just ask, very simple, ask God, God, in your time, and when you prioritize prayer, and in your time, say, Lord, Heavenly Father, give me a prayer partner. Who should I ask to be my prayer partner? Who should I ask to spend time, one time a week, for half an hour, even on the phone? It doesn't matter. But spend time in prayer and ask God, and God will direct you the people. God will give you the group to pray for one another and to encourage one another. Are you with me this morning? Do you have a prayer partner? And if I ask you to raise your hands, I tell you, not everyone has a prayer partner. I'm not telling you just once a week you pray. It's like, oh, that brother prayed for you. No, someone that you pray for one another. And you spend time with them. And you share your heart with the individual, even of your sins. We're not perfect people. I need to pray with someone. I want people to pray for me. And Jesus has demonstrated for me prayer partners. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need to sharpen each other and pray for one another. Yes, Pastor, I pray for my wife, and that's okay, but sometimes you're praying even for your spouse. We need to get someone who's lifting us up in our prayer and encouraging one another. If you don't have prayer partners, I encourage you to find them. The Bible says to begin, the Bible says that Jesus, now here, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed, and then expressed his agony. In Matthew 26:38, it says, then he said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. He cannot express the type of vulnerability in the presence of the multitude, but he did that in his inner circle, in his prayer partner. He shared his pain, Jesus' sorrow, resulting from anticipation of his physical, emotional suffering. And I pray for this church will find prayer partners this week and really pray for one another and really pray and encouraging and uplift each other. And instead of encouraging, sometimes, you know, I heard sometimes people say these things. And we pray for one another in that group. And all of a sudden, a person gets out of that group and goes, oh, church, we need to pray for sister so-and-so. And we look at it so spiritually. But in reality, we're just saying what the problem is. No. They didn't do that. They kept it one another and they prayed for one another. Man, there's things in my life that I need to confess with people. And I'm going to ask God to really direct me to the right people. Because I know the nature of human is all bleep, 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 bleep. And sometimes we lost that in the church to have prayer partners because we're afraid. We're afraid. We think that, you know, the so-and-so is going to go and squeal it out. That's why the important thing is ask God. And he will give you the right person. But the key is, find a prayer partner. It will be a blessing to you. It will be a blessing to us. Verse 39. Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as your will. We see clips of Jesus' humanity, and this divinity clashes right here. Humanity, he says, I don't want to go to the place of Calvary. But in his divinity, I know my destiny is to be in the place of Calvary. You see the difference there. He says, take it away. But he knew he had to be going to that place because his Father said that's where he's going to go. Three times he goes and prays in prayers and has the same prayer in verse 39, in verse 42, and verse 44. Jesus asks his Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. Jesus asks his Father to provide forgiveness by some means of other than his sacrificial death. And he says, Father, let your will be done. How long should we pray for something, church? Should we give up after we pray once? Should we give up after we pray twice? You know, sometimes people can tell you, don't repeat your prayers. Matthew, and they cite the Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Look at this. It doesn't tell you to repeat your prayers, but you have to really read it well. When you pray, don't what? Babble. It doesn't say don't repeat. It says don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagined they would be heard from their many words. It doesn't say don't repeat. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be persistence, and I'm going to be perseverance until God responds. Because I know God will respond. Now, I can tell you one thing, and I'm going to knock on the door, and I know someone is there, and I'm going to knock once and twice and three. You're going to be annoyed, but I can guarantee you're going to open that door after a while. It never happened to you? Someone will open that door. It might not be a good one up there. But when you knock on the heart of Jesus, once and twice and three and four times, He will respond. Not to what you want, but He will respond. When you pray, don't babble. My meaning of babble is to utter sounds of words imperfectly, instantly, or without meaning. That's what it means. Don't babble. Yes, I'm going to repeat my prayer. Yes, I'm going to pray for my son. Yes, I'm going to pray for my spouse. Yes, I'm going to pray for my family. And it's okay if I repeat that prayer, because I know that day will happen that God will open that door for me. Because we do serve a big God. He's not saying to be repetitive. He's not being repetitive in our prayer, but rather use God's name, but in repetition of babbling. That's what it's talking about in Matthew. They think that they're heard by God because of the amount of words they use. But we ought to be persistent in praying for. We ought to go to God until we get this answer from God for us. We know that through the scriptures in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 and 10. I can just prove you one right there through the scriptures. He said to them, suppose one of you have a friend and goes to him in the midnight and says to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, because of a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up, give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his friend's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking on the heart of Jesus and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who searches finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. That's a wonderful even promise for us. Prayer should be the priority. And Jesus, three times he goes before God and prays the same prayer. He said to him, Father, if there is anything other way, any other way, Lord, but Lord, let your will be done. Do you have a prayer that goes like this? Not my will, but your will be done. Do you have a prayer that way? Not my will, but at times our human things, our human nature always say, Lord, I want this. But how can not change our prayer and say, Lord, let your will be done. And if that, Lord, you know what that means? Surreal surrender. I surrender everything to you, Lord, and I'm giving everything to you, Lord. Not my will be done, but your will be done. If it, whatever it costs, Lord, I'm going to surrender everything to you. Because when we follow the will of God, we're going in the right place. When we follow our will, we're going to destruction. It is not my will, but your will be done. He knew he had to go to the cross. You and I know that God has promised us for eternity with Him. So why not say, Lord, your will be done. But don't take it lightly. Because when He says your will be done, He will speak to you. And if there's things that need to be worked in your life, you must act and be obedient what God is telling you to do. Or rest, those words are just babbling. Is that your prayer? Lord, my opinion goes much more than your will. Lord, my intelligence goes much more than your will. Lord, we've done this for years this way. That's how I want it, Lord. You know what happens when we do that? Destruction comes in. We're human beings. We make mistakes all times. We sin daily, including myself. Lord, not my will, but your will be done in our homes. Your will be done in our workplace. Your will be done in our churches. And once we follow the will of God, churches won't be the way it is today, because human nature, we always want to follow in my opinion. That's how I think, Lord. No, let your will be done, God. And when we follow the will of God, the blessings will come. The blessings will come in our homes. Some of you have moved your places and homes and traveled all over the world to come to this place. I guarantee you, I hope you made that prayer, Lord, let your will be done. Because if it wasn't the will of God, you'd be here, you're in the right place, and you'd be blessed by God. But if you went on your own term without taking the step of God, without taking his counsel, you will not go far. In anything in life, when you want to buy a home, when you want to move a job, when you want anything in life, even for myself to leave from Montreal to come here, how many times I had to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And I know if God has planted me somewhere, if God has put me a place, it is in the will of God. He will sustain you. He will guide you. He will provide you. He will do everything in your life. So, Lord, not my will in this church, but the will of God. It will flourish in this church day in and day out, every day of our lives. Is that your prayer? Not my will, but your will. Think of those words. Jesus said, not my will, but your will. And you know what was his will? The Lord's will is he had to go on the cross for you and I. Because if he was not obedient to that, you and I would never have this gift of salvation. But he did it. 100% humanity, 100% divinity. He says, no, Lord, take this cup away. No, no, take, that was the humanity speaking. But then he says, okay, but your will be done. Lord, we want your will to be done in our homes. Amen? Is that your desire? Is that your desire that, Lord, your will be done? If that's your prayer today, be ready, because God will speak to you. And we keep wondering why we're always in the same situation, following into temptations all times, if we have not priority prayer in our lives. If we fall in temptation day in and day out every day, Lord, forgive me, and then the next day you fall again. Lord, forgive me, and the next day you fall again. You're just playing with God. But if you take priority, prayer first in your life, you can defeat temptation. The only way that you can defeat temptation is by place of prayer. A private place. Finding yourself a prayer partner. Saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And then here it goes. The third point is prayer provides power. Do you know that? You're wondering why I have no strength, why I have no power in my life? Because maybe you're lacking some prayer. And I'm saying blunt in everyone's face, including myself. If we are missing the power of God in our lives and the strengths of God in our lives, because we're lacking prayer. We're prioritizing other things before prayer in our lives. I don't know how much I want to put this into your hearts, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just touch our lives today as a whole, even myself, that to understand the importance of prayer. Prayer provides power. Jesus received power in his prayer in the garden before he's going to the cross. Look at this. Then the angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Wow, even Jesus needed to be strengthened. Even Jesus needed to have this power because he knew he was going to face the cross. You and I know you're going to face temptation tomorrow. You and I know you're going to face struggles tomorrow. You and I know you're going to face some situations tomorrow morning. So why not go to prayer and get the power of God so when those things happen, you are ready for it. You are ready for this temptation. You are ready for this struggle that hits home. But it hurts me to know, including myself, at times we put aside prayer and put other things ahead of us, and then we're wondering why I can't overcome it. Because we forgot the most important thing is prayer. Some people believe that going to a Sunday morning service or midweek service or going to a program, you will receive power. I was talking to Brother Joel this morning. You can have all the programs you want. You can have all the music you want in the church. You can dance all you want in the church, and Satan will be right beside you and dancing with you. But I tell you something, he will flee if you have prayer in your life. It seems we're wrapped around the more things of programs and activities, and then we expect to be defeated, to defeat the enemy. No, my brothers and sisters. I want to try something if we don't have any music for our next month. I want to see if we're still going to serve and worship the Lord together. What makes the place in our lives run is the life of prayer. Because you're holding on to the one who gives us the power to overcome it. I strongly believe that in my heart. If we lack prayer, we would not go ahead. If we lack prayer in our spiritual walk, we would not go ahead in life. If we lack prayer in the church, we would not move. It will be the same in and the same out for the next 10 years. You've been saying the same things. But church, New Hope Christian Assembly, that's not who we are. Because we're going to be a house of prayer. We're going to go home and find a private room and spend time with God in the morning. Say these simple words, Lord, what do you think of me this morning? And you talk to him. And when you talk to him, say, Lord, what do you think of me? He's going to tell you, I love you, son. I love you, my daughter. And he'll speak to you. And then you ask him the question, Lord, Father, what is it needs to be worked in my life? And the first thing that comes out of your heart is what needs to be worked at. Because he's speaking to you. But when you prioritize prayer, when you really connect yourself with the Heavenly Father, and you speak to him with all your heart, and you tell him those questions, and when God answers your questions, you will see a transformation in your life that you never happened before. Because the Almighty God, your good Father, is talking to you and he's talking to me. Do you want to see change in your life? Do you want to see change in this church? Do you want to see change in this community? We need to prioritize prayer. That's the first thing. You need to have a good, solid prayer partners. Not to destroy each other, but to uplift and to pray for one another. And cry with that person. You know, I want to share my heart with you today. Do you know how many nights as a shepherd of the church I cry alone home? Night after night I cry because I have no one to share my heart with. That breaks my heart. Because I notice the importance now that I got to get in a circle to pray for one another. Meanwhile, we're home. We say we're praying for our pastor, and I thank you for that. And I really do. And I will encourage you to continue praying for me. But there's countless nights I'm up at 2 crying because I don't know who to open my heart to. But God has shown me the importance of inner circle to pray for one another. and to open my heart to someone that I can share my heart to. And I'm sharing from my heart. And you know, some of you might say, this pastor is weak, he's crying, he has tears. No, Jesus wept. And he wept for his people. And I pray for every one of you daily, because my heart is broken for us. I want the best for New Hope. I want the best for New Hope. I want to see God move in this place like never before. But it must start with prayer. It must start with prayer. I quote this. It is in a private place where power is developed. But it is in a public place where it is displayed. I'll repeat that. It is in a private place where power is developed. That means in your private room, you will receive the power of God. And then when you receive the power of God, it will be displayed wherever you go. But it is in a public place. Why do I say that? Because Jesus was many times in a solitude place, solitude. He withdrew himself and he was in his private place for himself and to pray to his heavenly Father. Why did he do that? To receive the power. Because when he was on the cross, now the power was displaced. The power was all over at cross of Calvary. The power that Jesus displayed on the cross of Calvary, it is because power was developed in a private place. So you want to receive the power, you got to go to that private place. And then when things happen, now you can display it. You can develop it in a private place. And all of a sudden, you would display it. When situation happens, the power in your life is in you. Because Christ has given up power when you spend time in a private place. I know some of you might say, Pastor, this is pretty strong for me. I do have a private place. You're being pretty strong on us with prayer this morning. Maybe I am. Maybe I was challenged to share this. It's been at least 4 weeks that this has been on my heart. I just had to select which day that God wanted me to share it. And it happened to be today. Because if you're here today, maybe this is for you. Maybe some of you are lacking prayer. I'm not talking about corporate prayer here. I'm not talking about praying in a Saturday night intercessory prayer. I'm talking about private room. I can call anybody to say, come here on Wednesday and have a corporate prayer. Probably all fill up in this place. But really, it's okay. We do that. We want to do that. But specifically spending time in prayer alone with God. Really spending that half an hour, 20 minutes. Prioritize prayer in your life. Private worship and prayer changes things. Prayer also produces peace. And the only way you receive peace is when you submit, not my will, but your will be done. And I want to conclude this today. Examine yourself. Twilight, could you come up and play just some piano for a moment? I want to conclude and I just want to pray for you, and I don't want to call an altar call and things like that. I don't want to. I just want you to reflect and examine yourself for a moment. That's what Twilight just plays, is something softly. And ask yourself this question. Have you really set some time of a private place for you? A private prayer. Have you have a private room for you? Don't quote me on this, but I don't remember. I think it was Billy Graham that the mother used to see him kneeling down in his room, staying there day in and day night. You would see the groove of the knees on the floor. That was his private room of prayer. This church that Matt and I went last week in Steinbach, it was a small church, a Baptist church. And God has spoken to this pastor and said, you got to preach in the Holy Spirit. Because he was really connected in the power of prayer. Because you got to preach in the Holy Spirit. He said, Holy Spirit in a Baptist church, it won't work. It took him 1 year to respond to what God has told him to do. Not Sunday morning, he was ready to be fired because he was going to preach that Sunday morning about the Holy Spirit. And he preached that day about the Holy Spirit. Standing ovation was there, glorifying Jesus. And since that day until today, there's over 5,000 members in that church because he welcomed prayer and he welcomed the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking for a mega church. I'm just looking at every heart pure and really spend time in prayer with God. Because only prayer changes things. So I encourage you to examine yourself and say, do you really have a private place? If not, I encourage you to set time aside and you will truly receive the power and the strength that God will send to you. Prioritize prayer, my friends, and you will see the blessings of God. Do you need power and peace this week? Retreat and take the place of victory and meet with God in prayer. Every eye closed this morning. Just ponder and ask those questions to yourself. Maybe ask, God is speaking to you right now and he's saying, yes. What's the first thing that's coming to your mind right now? Let's be honest to ourselves. If you just be silent for a second. And the first thing that's coming to your mind right now, to your heart, if it is a program, if it is food, if it is something else that's coming in your mind now, your heart is not in the right place. I'm telling you. If you're just listening right now to the voice of God and God is telling you, yes, you need to set some time, that's God speaking to you. And I encourage you to do so. Just be obedient to the voice of God. You will never go wrong when we hear to our Father. He is a good Father. He is a good Father. Church, say he is a good Father. He is a good Father. You are such a good Father, Lord. Come on, repeat yourself that and tell him that you're an awesome dad. You're an awesome Father. And we love you. Lord, forgive us if we have prioritized other things instead of prayer. Lord, our heart is, oh God, to draw close to Thee. So Lord, forgive us if we have not obeyed You, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we have failed and fallen short, oh God, in those areas of our life, oh God. But Lord, we want to get back to that private room, to that place where we met You, Lord, to that place where You and I are alone one-on-one, God, to that place where I can hear from You, Lord. So, Lord, I pray, for New Hope Christian Assembly, for every believer in this place, oh Father, that comes your day, week after week, I pray, oh God, let Your will be done, not our will, in our lives. I pray, God, for every individual in this place, oh God, that they would take this word, oh God, and apply it to their lives and understand the importance of prayer. Father, I pray if there's anyone here that really failed in that area of going to that private place, I encourage, Father, I pray right now that You would touch their lives and they repent of the sins that I have done, Lord. I want, oh Father, they will go back to the place, the private room. It is only in the private room that You and I will receive power from God. So, Father, I pray for this church. I pray for every family in this place, oh Lord, and even as a individuals, God, if there's someone here that not have a prayer partner or not spend their time with someone, I ask You, Lord, that You would just reveal Yourself to them. You would speak to them and show them the person that they should spend time with, oh God. And when we do that, oh Lord, we will encourage each other. We will pray for one another. We will uplift each other in prayer. And Father, maybe there's someone here, someone has stopped or threw the towel away and says, I'm not praying for that situation anymore. But I pray, oh God, that they will be encouraged through this message, that perseverance is the key. Persistence is the key. The Bible says, if you knock, it will be open. Don't you give up, church. Don't you give up, child of God. That's what God is telling us. Keep on praying. Sooner or later, you will see the hand of God move in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for this church. And I ask of you, Lord, that you be with them, oh God. Be to every family, every young person, every elder in this place, every couple. Pour out your blessing once again upon them, oh God, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. And all God's people say, amen. Before we go home this evening, this morning, let's all stand. I don't know why, but I wanted to sing this very simple song. It says,